Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I mentioned this story yesterday on the show, but we didn't have time to talk about it. I don't think I've ever seen a story like this before. I don't recall. You know, when you do radio most of your life, like I have, you think you've pretty much seen everything when it comes to stories in the news. But listen to this headline. Woman missing for 3 weeks found alive, naked, in Florida storm drain. This is in Delray Beach, Florida. And Delray Beach is pretty nice, actually. A Florida woman was rescued from a storm drain after she crawled inside, got lost, and became trapped underground there for days. The Delray Beach Fire Rescue and Police rushed to a storm drain two mornings ago, on Tuesday morning, after a 911 caller reported hearing yelling from below ground. Firefighters opened up a slim grate to lift a woman out of the 8 feet deep drain. The woman, who had been reported missing on March 3rd, what's today? Today's March 25th. The woman was naked and very dirty. She had some superficial wounds, including scraped knees. They took her to the hospital, but she was released a little while after they took her there. It's unclear how long the woman was in the storm drain. She told police she went swimming in a canal behind her apartment complex, then crawled inside a trapdoor-type opening and got lost, ending up 3 miles away. That's a long swim. Or that's whatever you do underground in Florida in the storm drains. You swim, you walk, you do a combination of both. And, you know, authorities, Coleman said, that's where people's waste goes. So, I mean, there was crap down there and urine.
So she was swimming in the waste treatment plant.
Well, in the storm drains.
Yeah, but wherever she was at, wherever the storm drain led to, was probably a sewage waste.
I mean, her explanation, again, she was reported missing 3 weeks ago. And she said that she went swimming in a canal behind her apartment complex in Florida, and then she crawled inside a trapdoor-type opening and got lost. So how do you go from swimming in a canal to all of a sudden you find a trapdoor?
She was being adventurous.
And then she ended up 3 miles away. When police asked her what she ate and drank, she said she found an unopened bottle of ginger ale that she drank.
That's 130 calories.
Hey, you and I are both ginger ale fans, Coleman. Yeah. I like ginger ale.
And she had no clothes on, right?
Naked.
All right. I think she's lying. I don't think she was swimming in the canal behind her Florida apartment. I think she was skinny dipping in the canal behind her Florida apartment. She had her clothes on. Where'd her clothes go?
It doesn't say. Exactly. All it says is she's naked, and it doesn't say anything about clothes. And a representative from the Delray Beach, Florida police said, quote, "This was by far one of the most bizarre incidents that our officers have responded to."
That's also a lie. You live in Florida.
I was going to say, that's saying something. I mean, this is a Florida town's police department. That's saying something. She did get checked out by health officials, and according to their observations, it doesn't appear that she had been in the storm drain system for a significant amount of time. According to police, the storm drain from the canal where the woman says she entered is about 6 feet in diameter, but later narrows to 24 inches and does not connect to the city's drainage system.
How the hell?
So her story, it's not adding up. Police are continuing to investigate the incident, even though no crime appears to have been committed. She's been missing for 3 weeks.
There's a lot that bothers me about this story.
And she drank an unopened can of ginger ale or an unopened bottle of ginger ale, and that's all we know. 3 weeks, naked, in the storm drain system.
I have to admit, the thing that bothers me most about this story is saying that they're investigating the situation even though a crime has not been committed. Why waste the manpower and resources if a crime hasn't been committed? Just let it go. She came out safe. Yes, it's strange. It's weird, but it's also Florida. Let's not use the police for that. Let's let them do real crimes. You live in Florida. Don't waste time trying to investigate a mystery when there's no crime committed in the mystery.
I mean, we do our segment on our show every day at around 8:40, 8:35 or 8:40. It's called The Dumbest Thing I Read All Morning. This is pretty dumb.
I think it's more mysterious than dumb because, like you said, there's so many unanswered variables. Like, how did she get within that 24-inch separation between the sewage and water board or the sewage system in the lake that she supposedly has swam in? Why was she naked? Like, it's more of a mystery than, I think once we find out more of the mystery, you know, utilize the police force to solve a harmless uncrime, then we can say whether it's dumb or not.
Well, look, it's not just Florida men making the news with absolutely ridiculous stories. The Florida woman, the naked Florida woman, missing for 3 weeks, found alive in a storm drain. Just when you thought you saw it all. All right, we got a lot to get to on the show this morning. The Superdome got a new name. It's going to have a new name for the next 20 years. Stay tuned for that. Starting Monday, everybody in Louisiana, everybody, it doesn't matter how old you are or how sick you are or not sick, you'll be able to get a coronavirus vaccine shot starting Monday. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And yesterday, it was announced that it looks like the corporate name of the Superdome is going to be Caesars.
Like the pizza?
No, not Little Caesars. Caesars Entertainment. Coleman, that's the company that owns Harrah's Casino. They own a bunch of other things too. But it looks like they've come to an agreement with the New Orleans Saints And starting in July, for the next 20 years, it will be the Caesars Superdome. And I know there's a lot of people around here that say, well, I don't call it that. And just like for the last 10 years, I never called it the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Because 10 years ago, for the first time ever, there was a corporate sponsor who paid for the naming rights to have their name mentioned and to have their name all over the Superdome. 10 years ago, Mercedes-Benz made a deal with the Saints. Their deal was a 10-year deal, and that deal is up in July. And so that name goes away, and it looks like it's going to be replaced by Caesars Entertainment. They're going to pay the Saints $10 million a year for the next 20 years.
Cha-ching.
And look, that's the only reason why the Saints are doing this. I mean, it opened in 1975, and it was always the Louisiana Superdome. But nobody around here ever called it that. It's always been the Dome. Hardly anybody ever called it the Superdome. It's the Dome. Where are you going? Well, we're going to the Dome. And I know, and I saw a bunch of people yesterday on social media, well, I'm not calling it that. I live here. Well, of course you're not calling it that. The reason why Mercedes-Benz paid for it for 10 years, and the reason why Caesars Entertainment is paying $10 million a year for the next 20 years, there's a couple of reasons. Their name will be all over that dome. For anybody who drives by it, they will always see, hey, Caesars Entertainment. And the biggest reason is when the Saints are on national television, when they're on Monday Night Football, when they're on Sunday Night Football, when the announcers will always say, live from the Caesars Superdome, it's Monday Night Football tonight.
Also, when the blimp passes by the roof, they see the big-ass Caesars.
That's right.
So it's a big-ass billboard, the top of the dome.
That's all it is.
It's a billboard. So, no, it doesn't matter what we call it. It depends on what people see.
It's the largest billboard in New Orleans. Now, our radio station and this radio show got beaten out by Caesars. We didn't, we wanted to call it the Bayou 95.7 Dome. The Osterlin Show Dome.
Yeah, but they wasn't
the O Dome.
They wasn't taking $100 a year, though. $10 million.
We couldn't come up with the scratch. Our station couldn't come up with the $10 million a year for the next 20 years to pay for that. But nobody, of course nobody from around here is going to, no, who called it the Mercedes? Whoever did you ever hear from around here say, hey, we're going over to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome? No, nobody ever said that. They're paying for the largest billboard in the city of New Orleans that has the biggest reach.
And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it the first time in history that a casino organization will be sponsoring an NFL stadium? Like, because every other stadium in the league has, like, a business, but none of them are casinos. Am I wrong?
Yes, you're right about that. This is the first, who knows? You know, maybe there could be a giant roulette wheel on top of the roof. Or maybe just a huge craps table.
Well, let's start with the basics. Now that a casino organization has their name on top of the Superdome where they play sports, let's do sports betting. Let's get legalized sports betting here in the city. And that
well,
way
they already voted for that. Well, they're in the process of getting that into places.
That will go hand in hand. So now whenever they have a game at the Caesars Superdome, They can also promote the legalized sports gambling at Ascena, at Harrah's Casino. See, they could go hand in hand and make big bank. See?
Yeah, this is, like you mentioned, this is the first gambling organization to sponsor, to put their name on a sports venue in the United States. Pretty big deal.
Right, and you couple that up with sports gambling, they can say something like, hey, this is the Caesars Superdome, and by the way, at Harrah's right now, you know, make your bets to see what color the Gatorade is going to be. You know, they can, it can work hand in hand.
Yeah, just think of the opportunities, the wagering opportunities. By the way, Jeff Duncan broke this story yesterday. He's good. He writes for The Athletic, and he's also a Fox 8 Saints analyst here in the city. I mean, I think it's good that Saints are making some money, that companies are interested. We knew Mercedes-Benz was out when the Atlanta Falcons built their new stadium a couple of years ago, and Mercedes-Benz said, we want to pay for the naming rights of that place. That place is called Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So we knew, I mean, you can't have the same name of a corporate sponsor, your biggest rival in the NFL. I mean, that can't happen.
Plus, it's smarter for Mercedes, a car company, to have their advertisement in Atlanta where there are less potholes. Because even if we advertise here in New Orleans, if you go buy your Mercedes, by the time you finish driving through Lakeview, you might crack your Mercedes underhaul.
Yeah, you shouldn't be driving Mercedes through Lakeview. You shouldn't be driving any cars worth a lot of money through Lakeview. Have you seen the streets there lately? Although they're working on them. I know they are. I got friends that live over there, and I do see some work. Oh, coming up, speaking of streets, coming up on the show, did you see the 8-foot giant traffic cone that's over one very large pothole here in the city of New Orleans? If you haven't, give me a minute. I'm going to get a picture of that up on our website. People don't know if that's real or if it's a prank, because the potholes are so big in the city of New Orleans. Now, this is the largest orange cone that anybody's ever seen. So that's coming up. And also starting on Monday, everybody in the state of Louisiana over the age of 16 can go get a coronavirus vaccine shot. It doesn't matter how sick you are. You don't have to prove that you're sick or fat or anything else. Starting on Monday, everybody, the only thing you'll have to do is you still have to make an appointment. But starting on Monday, everybody in the state of Louisiana, 16 and up, can go get their coronavirus shot. So those stories are coming up, a lot more coming up. But hey, the Caesars Superdome, or do you think they'll just call it the Harrah's Superdome?
But they have a lot of names to choose from that's under the Caesars umbrella. So
yeah, I think it's going to be the Caesar Dome. Or the Caesars Entertainment Superdome. But and again, nobody around here really. But it's a giant billboard, and that's that. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Russian civil rights groups are reporting that Russian President Vladimir Putin's enemies are being tortured in dungeons. Prisoners are beaten, shot, and forced to listen to Yoko Ono records. His vinyl's making a comeback in Russia, too. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. But Coleman has mentioned that he's weary of Uber and Lyft ride-sharing services because he's heard stories and read stories about, you could get a crazy Uber driver or a crazy Lyft driver. And you got to realize, and what I said to Coleman is, you only read about the bad news, the bad stories. You know, 99.875% of Uber rides and Lyft rides go the way they're supposed to go. You only read about something bad or crazy that happens with a ride like that. I use Uber a lot. And knock on wood, I've never had a problem. Sure, I mean, I've had a couple of rides that might not have been the greatest. Maybe listening to music. Told you this one ride I had, this younger black woman was my Uber driver here in New Orleans, and she's cranking this rap song, and every other word is the N-word. And I'm trying to get down and be cool and be hip, but there's no way I could join in and sing in that song. I couldn't do that, Coleman. But I mean, most of my Uber rides, I mean, pretty much, I've never had an issue.
Well, it's more to it than that with me. It's also that if you do a ride sharing service, the Uber driver tends to want to talk and have conversation. I'm an introvert. I don't want to be bothered. I'd rather have my own car. That way I can drive by myself. I don't have to talk to anybody. You'd be like, how's your day going? Dude, just take me home. Like that's another reason why I don't.
I mean, you can say that.
Okay.
You could say that to the Uber driver if they start just making small talk and you're not in the mood for it. I'm sure there are times when the Uber rider who's in the back seat, I'm sure there are times where they want to make small talk and the Uber driver isn't having a great day and doesn't want to deal with having to talk about nothing, just make small talk with the rider in the back seat. But anyways, the reason I'm bringing this up, and I've said before, I don't know how we lived without Uber. I mean, it's so convenient and it's so easy. But I saw this story. Boston Uber driver charged with kidnapping as his lawyer faults language mix-up. This happened up in Boston, where an Uber driver has been charged with kidnapping a female passenger. But his attorney insists the incident was the result of a language barrier gone awry.
I can admit a Boston accent is kind of thick. But
it's not the Boston accent.
Oh.
He lives in Massachusetts, but 47-year-old Kamal Esselak. He's originally from Morocco, Coleman. So you take that Morocco accent and you mix it with the Boston accent. Yeah, Pakhtakhan, Avignon.
Yeah, you might as well be working to be a contractor for the Tower of Babel at that point.
You might as well use sign language at that point. But old Kamal, the Uber driver, he pleaded not guilty on Monday.
Were they able to understand him saying not guilty?
To a kidnapping charge following his Saturday arrest on an outstanding warrant in Boston for an incident that happened last Thursday. He was arrested in the Boston suburb of Acton. Well, that's out on Route 2. Lived and worked up there for many years. A woman told detectives he picked her up in the city's Brighton section and started behaving strangely, prompting her to ask that he pull over and let her out. The driver stopped, but the woman couldn't get out because the car's child safety locks were engaged on both rear doors, making it impossible for her to get out. And according to the police report, I got that police report right here. According to the police report, it says, as the victim began to scream and bang on the glass in an attempt to draw attention to the unfolding situation, the Uber driver began to climb into the rear passenger area of the vehicle, laughing periodically. I wonder if he was laughing. I wonder if he was laughing like,
all right. There are certain things that no matter what language you speak is universal. You can just tell by body language, facial expression. I'm assuming that kicking and screaming and banging on the door should be a universal gesture of, hey, let me the hell out. There's no way you can confuse that one, right?
Listen what the woman did. She's thinking quickly. She managed to slide around Kamal, the driver, and made her way into the driver's seat where she unlocked the door and ran to safety. But his lawyer insisted in court that a language barrier between him and the woman caused the confrontation that led to his arrest. Now, wait a minute. If you're driving an Uber or a Lyft here in the United States, whether you're from Morocco or wherever you're from, shouldn't you have to be able to speak proper English? Did you know every pilot in the world has to speak, every airline pilot has to speak English?
I didn't know that.
Because the universal language is around the world, you have to speak English. Now, I know pilots flying in different countries, they'll talk to their own people in their own language in their own countries, but the universal language for pilots, every pilot who flies an airplane is English. So you got to be able to...
But even beyond that, you would think that since you are doing a ride-sharing service, based on what I understand, you don't even have to talk at all because the GP, like when you order the Uber, you put in where you're at and you put in where you're going, so there's really nothing to talk about. Say, because doesn't it give you like the GPS location of where you're going and where you're getting picked up from?
Yeah, well, maybe his language barrier didn't understand when she said, look, I don't want to talk. Just bring me to where I'm going.
Yeah, unless he didn't understand the city. Turn left here.
You know, and the other thing about this is, you know, women, especially attractive women. I mean, if I was a good-looking woman, I'd be afraid to get into an Uber car by myself. I'll be honest with you. Be pretty much afraid to go anywhere by myself. That's a whole different topic and a whole different story. But if you're an attractive woman, I mean, man.
Exactly. Your problem would be a man.
Well, I'm gonna follow this story to see if this guy really did, this Uber driver from Morocco up in Boston really did try to kidnap this woman, or he just didn't understand. There was a language barrier that forced him to climb over his seat into the back seat.
Yeah, because he didn't understand what screaming meant in English.
All right. Hey, starting Monday, everybody can get a coronavirus shot. It doesn't matter how old you are. Well, you got to be over 16. And it doesn't matter how sick you are or how fat you are. Everybody starting Monday can get a coronavirus vaccination shot. You still got to make an appointment. That and a lot more coming up on the show. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, New Orleans Morning Radio Show. And over the last few years on this show, we have talked about a bunch of times female teachers getting in all kinds of trouble for doing sex with their underage male students. Time and time and time again. And whenever we've talked about it on the show, I've always said a double standard applies here. And then when I've seen some of the mugshots of the teachers, some of them are absolutely gorgeous. And then you read the story of how they lost their job and they got arrested for doing sex with a 16-year-old male student. And then I always thought, the double standard applies because I remember being a 16-year-old high school student. And when I saw some of these mugshots of the teachers, I'm thinking to myself, my God, why couldn't that be me? And look, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. And the double standard applies because if it's ever a male teacher getting arrested for doing sex with an underage female student, that male teacher should be beaten down, tarred and feathered. And I could be wrong for looking at it different. Coleman, am I wrong for looking at it different when it's a really good looking female teacher?
An argument could be made that that may be sexist.
What's sexist about it?
That you would say, hey, if a female teacher does sex with a 16-year-old student, hey, you know, good on the kid. But if it's a male, like, even though the
sexist against men,
sexist in general, because you're looking at men and women as different. You're saying that the accountability of a man is different from the accountability of a woman. That's sexist.
Okay. But what about the fact that I remember being a 16-year-old high school student, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah. There were some teachers I wanted to do sex with in high school, of course. And if they had approached me and did sex with me, I would probably enjoy it. I wouldn't consider myself a victim. Well, I completely agree.
Well, look, the reason I'm bringing this up right now is because we just had an arrest locally, well, in Lafourche Parish. A former middle school, not teacher, principal, just got arrested for doing sex with an under male student. She's a principal. Lafourche Parish Sheriff Craig Weber announced a Raceland woman has been arrested for having sexual relations with a teenage boy. 44-year-old Ashley Landry.
She was a hooah.
Was booked on charges yesterday. Landry had been employed as the principal at Lockport Middle School. Not even a high school. You know, usually when we do these stories, at least the students are in high school. This woman's a principal at Lockport Middle School. But her employment with the Lafourche Parish School District recently ended. Thank God. Earlier this month, juvenile detectives opened an investigation into Ashley Landry. Initially, detectives learned she had exchanged inappropriate messages with a teenage boy that were sexual in nature. After obtaining evidence, detectives contacted her. She agreed to meet with them. During questioning, she admitted to exchanging inappropriate messages and to doing sex with the teenager. Following questioning, they obtained a warrant for her arrest. She was just booked into the Lafourche Parish Correctional Complex in Thibodaux yesterday. She was charged with felony carnal knowledge of a juvenile. She was subsequently released after posting bail in the amount of $25,000. That was her bail.
But let's see how your double standards apply. We already know that you stand on the issue that if a man does sex with an underage student, he should be beaten, tarred, feathered, locked away for life,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So let's not, now, but if it was a hot teacher and it was a 16-year-old boy, you don't have that much of a problem with it. But what if the teacher wasn't that hot? Then would you look at the boy as a victim? Let's say the teacher is like a behooger wolf and not as hot as one of the hot teachers that you're used to.
Well.
So is it a triple standard?
This could be a triple standard call.
All right. So it has to be a hot woman, then it wouldn't be a victim. But if she's not hot.
I mean, look, this principal, I would say she's average looking. She's an average looking woman. But she's a principal. This takes the teacher thing to a whole new level. And she's a teacher. teacher. She's a principal of a middle school, not even a high school.
Somebody just texted that too. What if the female teacher is ugly?
Well, then we have a different story. I haven't in the last few years since we've been talking about all of these female teachers getting in trouble for doing sex with their underage male students. I can't remember even seeing one news story about a male teacher getting in trouble for doing sex with an underage female student. I can't even remember seeing one. And I've seen a plethora of stories about female teachers. And now here, a middle school principal. All right, we're giving away $1,000. Well, we're giving you the opportunity to win $1,000. Every hour from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., every weekday, making it rain here on Bayou 95.7. Hang out with us because in just a second, Coleman will give you today's keyword. Good luck. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A Los Angeles rescue mission has named a new homeless shelter after late Jeopardy host Alex Trebek. When reached for comment, a homeless spokesman asked for a dollar. Hey, and coming up, speaking about Jeopardy, their latest guest host is getting lambasted, or is it lambasted, on social media. Stay tuned for that and more coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And have you seen the picture of the giant traffic cone here in New Orleans? We just put that up for you on our website, bayou957.com, and I wrote a little story about it. There is a giant traffic cone here in the city that is as big as the potholes. This is an 8-foot traffic cone. And what's interesting about this is if people don't know if this is a prank or if this is actually real. No one knows. And so let me first tell you what I wrote on our website next to this picture. Giant traffic cone in New Orleans is as big as the potholes. City says 8-foot cone will be coming to a pothole near you. There are so many potholes in the streets of New Orleans. At times, drivers feel as if they're driving in a third world country. Some of the potholes are so big, a family of dwarves could live in them. It looks like the regular-sized traffic cones aren't able to do the job when it comes to these giant craters. So the city has stepped up its game in protecting drivers from these monsters with a giant 8-foot traffic cone. This should help keep drivers in New Orleans safe, as well as give people something new to take their picture next to. Hopefully this cone will be mass-produced to protect us from all the giant potholes that the streets of New Orleans are known for. And again, if you haven't seen the picture of this thing yet, Coleman, I don't think this is real. This has to be a prank.
The idea that we don't know bothers me because you would think if it is a real actual traffic cone and it's in city that somebody in the city should know about it and say, yeah, we put that there because that's what our job is. But the fact that nobody knows whether it's real or not, that disturbs me. Like even the city who is responsible for the potholes and the street maintenance don't know whether it's a prank or not. Nobody has come forward to say, we didn't put that there on social media or anything.
This traffic cone is bigger than Zion Williamson. This thing is immense.
Looking at the picture, I do think it's fake. Because I think if it was an actual 8-foot traffic cone, it would be, it looks paper mache.
But they did a great job. Because look at the smaller, the regular size traffic cones around it. And the way that the tape is around it, mm-hmm. it looks, they did a good job. If this is a prank, if you're listening right now, text us. This can't be real. This traffic cone cannot be real.
But the cone is real. Don't it's sitting
no, no,
there.
No, but no,
it's
but
not
when I say it's not real, this hasn't been set up by the city,
right.
Or this hasn't been set up. Some prankster made this and put this there. And again, if you haven't seen it, check it out on our website at bayou957.com.
But here's the thing, though. Even if, let's say this is a prank, right? It's funny, but it's still a great idea. I think cities should start using big 8-foot cones like this. It's definitely, like, it gets people's attention. So even though this is meant to be a prank, even if it's meant to be a mockery, it still should happen. It's still a great idea. This is brilliant.
Well, we finally have a traffic cone that can protect the drivers of New Orleans from these monstrous potholes. That some of these potholes are just, you don't think they're real. And as someone who's lived in New Orleans for a long time, you know, you see these potholes in the streets and you say to yourself, what the hell do our taxes pay for? What in God's name? I know the huge salary of our mayor and our new district attorney, Jason Williams, who's going to be going to jail. He's not going to be district attorney very long. He's been indicted by a federal grand jury, and that trial's coming up. But he just raised his pay to almost $200,000 a year. And then we have our tax cheat of a mayor who's making almost that much. My God! Where do the tax dollars go in the city of New Orleans when you see potholes like this?
As Tech says, who cares who made it? We should thank them.
Yes.
Scott S. says, clearly this was done by a local, probably an artist tired of these streets. That's how you make a point. Well, the cone does come up to a point. It starts as a cylinder and shoots up and goes into a point.
Well, whoever made this is fantastic because it looks exactly like the regular-sized orange traffic cones. Anyways, go check that out when you get a chance on our website. And I'll tell you, our website, we've got a lot of stuff. We got a new website. And there's a lot of stuff up there. Our show page is a lot of fun. You can click on, you go to bayou957.com. And then when you get there, if you go over the on-air, you click on the John Osterlin Show. We've got all kinds of videos and stories that we think you'll like.
Yeah, we got videos. We have highlights from my Saturday thing, Day Drinking with Coleman. We got all of our contests there. We have the rules of how that $1,000 Making It Rain contest goes. We now have the Bayou Balls bracket on there. We have all of your podcasts. We got all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah, you can go try to win cool prizes. Because there are 16 teams left in the NCAA Hoops Tournament, and you can go in, and we're starting it right now. You can go, that's up there. There's a ton of stuff up there. When you get a chance, go check it out. And the latest that we just put up there is the picture and the story of the massive 8-foot traffic cone here in the city of New Orleans. That's Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And did you see where the New Orleans Convention Center Board has just approved a proposal for entertainment and residential complex to be built right on the river next to the convention center, next to Mardi Gras World? A group of New Orleans real estate developers have been selected to create an entertainment and residential district right on the Mississippi River. The Convention Center Board approved the selection of River District Neighborhood Investors, LLC, to develop the 39 acres right over there by the Convention Center. And pretty cool. I mean, I'm always all for building when you can build. And I mean, you just think about all of the jobs it creates. You think about the fact that there's nothing, literally nothing there now. And if they could develop a really cool entertainment and residential district right there on the river where currently nothing is, that's very cool.
First things first, we need to get live music and performances back full stream so we can even enjoy it.
Well, that's coming, Coleman. That's coming. We are slowly going back into bars, and we are slowly seeing live music again reappear, not just in New Orleans, but all over Louisiana. We're seeing that. I mean, last weekend we could have gone and seen live music. I mean, maybe not with a singer, or not with wind-blown instruments, and we wouldn't be allowed to get up and dance. But we're crawling before we're walking. So a representative with the company who was chosen to develop this there, River District Neighborhood Investors, LLC, this is what he said. Quote, "This development needs to be more than an entertainment district. Our team believes that we must first establish a strong residential foundation. Then we will activate selected locations throughout the neighborhood with an appropriate mix of essential and non-essential retail, food, and beverage, entertainment, hotel, hospitality, office, medical, services, and other uses."
So they're just building the city.
Well, it's a 39-acre lot.
They're just building the city surrounding, just based on entertainment. It seems like a beatnik hippie type deal where it's centered around peace, love, and happiness. It's going to be a commune of some sort, seems like, where you can just play like cool music. And then if you freak out, you know how they had the freak out tent at Woodstock? That's what it seems like based on how you're describing it. It seems like it's going to be a modern day Woodstock type commune.
Well, it's going to be another district, Coleman. Pretty close, right near the warehouse district. It's going to be another district here in New Orleans. And again, there's absolutely nothing there right now. What's there now? Squadouche. And again, I'm always for building. I love seeing buildings go up. Do you realize over the last decade, a brand new neighborhood was built in the city of New Orleans? Right near the Superdome and that Rouse's supermarket that took over the old car dealership there.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's a whole new neighborhood there. There are brand new apartment buildings there. There are restaurants there. There are retail stores there. That has all come along in the last decade. There was nothing there before. I mean, there were parking lots there.
So you and I were there. We were eating at Company Burger, right? When we were talking
Company
about,
Burger is
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we were talking about, is it considered gentrification? Nah, that's what we were talking about while we was eating our Company Burger. Like, does this count as gentrification? Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
That's not gentrification if they turned a parking lot into cool apartments, restaurants, and retail stores. Gentrification would be if they went into a few of the poorer neighborhoods here in New Orleans, started fixing all of that up, raised the rents, started building restaurants and things in there, and people couldn't afford to live there anymore. Right. That is gentrification. What they did in that neighborhood I'm talking about, next to the Superdome, there were parking lots there. There was nothing there. There are a few different tall apartment buildings now.
Right.
There are restaurants. There are bars. There were 10 years ago, there was nothing there.
And it looks great. My only criticism is if you walk around there, you still see those unused Uber bike racks. If they could just get rid of those unused Uber bike racks.
Those big, long, blue.
Yeah.
Those are all over the city. Although, we were just talking about the other day how they're going to try to bring something similar back in September.
No more riding. No more bike riding apps.
But yeah, I mean, you look around the city, they got those big, long, blue bike racks that are now all empty because the blue bikes are gone. But yet those damn bike racks are still taking up parking spots, valuable parking spots, valuable real estate in front of, there's one massive one right in front of Barcadia.
Right.
In the warehouse district, right near Lucy's. Yet those giant, big blue bike racks, I'd like to see. We got to crawl before we walk, Coleman. But I think this is really cool how this entertainment and residential district right on the river, right on the Mississippi River. Hopefully they start soon. And then in a few years, we'll be able to look back and say, remember when there was nothing there? And now look at all the places people could live. Look at the restaurants. Look at the bars. I mean,
look at the freak out tent.
Yes. People waking up in the freak out tent. So I anytime I see anything being built in the city, I get happy because that's what we need. We need to keep growing. And the cool thing about New Orleans is it does continue to grow, but it keeps its New Orleans history. That's very, very cool. All right, coming up, we still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Got a few other things we got to get to. And here's another chance for you right now. Take a chance and win $1,000. Making it rain. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you listen to our show, you might recall a few months back, we talked about the woman in the AT&T commercials. Lily, I'm a huge fan of Lily in the AT&T commercials. And we talked about her because there were pictures of her going around the internet of her at a pool party, and she was wearing a bikini and massive cleavage. And those pictures were going around, and it kind of freaked her out. And so she's just done a whole new round of AT&T commercials. And a lot of them have been playing during the NCAA basketball tournament. And people have been saying, we don't see your body in this new round of commercials. Why are you either sitting down or why are you behind something and we only see your pretty face? She just tweeted, been getting a lot of, why are they placing her body like that in those ads? Well, I direct the ads. I place myself like that. And it's because of the thousands of unwelcome comments I receive about my body. You've lost the privilege of looking at it until I feel safe again. That's Lily from the AT&T commercial. Well, that's the actress who plays Lily. Her name is Milana Weintraub. And she's having body image problems. Coleman, a really hot woman, feeling the heat, I guess, from being so hot.
That happens when you're hot. I wish I had that kind of attention. I would know how to utilize it and profit off of it.
OnlyFans. Well, hopefully people will stop saying things or whatever they're saying, because I like those AT&T commercials with Lily. And I don't want to see her sitting down or behind a filing cabinet. I want to see Lily like we used to see Lily.
But, John, you're part of the problem. That's the point. We're not supposed to be paying attention to her body. We're supposed to be being sold telephones or cell phones.
Well, a carrier. Well, Coleman, I enjoy the ads. But I've never once body shamed her. I'm a Lily fan. Lily. Oh, Lily. Lily. I love Lily.
I don't think the complaints were big people trying to shame her for her body.
Well, hopefully in the next round of AT&T commercials, Lily will stand up again, or you know, not be behind the filing cabinet. All right, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And I've never seen this in a robbery. I have never seen this type of robbery before in my life. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and it's that time where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Michigan man awakes to intruder holding gun to his head, demanding his cats.
What?
I will say it again for you, Coleman. Michigan man awakes to intruder holding gun to his head, demanding his cats.
Now, cat isn't a euphemism for a body part. You mean the actual animal cat, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Or not someone who does the afternoon show here on Bayou 95.7. You've probably heard of a cat burglar.
Ah, that was a good one, believe it or not. Whoever wrote that is genius.
Well, this literally is a cat burglar, Coleman. This happened in Michigan, according to the Laurium, Michigan Police Department. In Houghton County, a man awoke just after 4:14 a.m. to find another man pointing a gun at his head and demanding he give him two cats that live there. The man, who broke into the home without permission, took one of the cats before leaving. Police believe the suspect knew the homeowner prior to the home invasion. He was located by police a short time later, according to a news release. The gun was seized during the arrest, and he was booked at the Houghton County Jail on charges of home invasion and felonious assault. The incident is still under investigation, and the suspect and the victim have not been identified. Officers were assisted at the scene by a few other municipalities, police officers. But that's the end of the story. It doesn't say if the dude got his cat back.
I guess that's why the investigation is still ongoing. See, when something's cut and dry like that, somebody breaks into your home, puts a gun in your face, and demands that you give them your animals or your cats, and then you know the guy who broke into your house, then they catch the guy who broke into your house and demanded a cat. What's there left to investigate?
Well, I want to know. I want to know where, if the guy got his cat back. I have a big, fat, black, soft and furry cat named El Gato Negro.
Yeah, I met him a few times.
He likes you.
You know, we
all... My cat, all he does is purr. And yeah. So I couldn't imagine if someone broke into my place held a gun to my head and said, give me the cat, my cat would probably just go with him because my cat likes everybody. My cat's more like a dog.
You know, we always say there are certain crimes that men commit and certain crimes that women commit. For instance, if flashing, peeping Tom.
That's right. You don't see very many women flashing or being peeping Toms.
Well, when it comes to women, you have slashing of the tires, breaking windshields when they're scorned by their lover, okay? But if I was to tell you that somebody broke into somebody else's house to steal some cats and I didn't tell you the gender of the person, what would you imagine in your head?
First thing you think of is the cat lady.
Right. So to say that this is a dude breaking into another dude's house, cats, it's 2021. I feel like I'm sexist for even thinking that a woman should have done this. But then again, how many women are going around breaking into homes with a gun? But at the same time, how many men are demanding cats? So this is like one of those weird crimes where if I just told you what it was on the surface, it was hard to peg what the perp should have been or who would have thought it would have been.
Yeah, the guy's not a cool cat.
You're on fire today, John.
Well, Coleman, think about it. Out of all the things you could steal from inside someone's house, I mean, you know, computer, electronic equipment, television, cell phones. I mean, all the things that are worth a few bucks that usually people have just laying around in the middle of their house. And this guy goes in with a gun, holds it to the guy's head, and says, give me the cats, man. Give me the cats.
Go get your own, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's probably, this is in Houghton County, Michigan. I'm sure there's just plenty of strays, and I'm sure they got cat shelters up there. There's probably plenty of places he can go get his own cat for free.
I can see this cat burglar in a court of law. They ask him, like, why did you feel the need to want to steal this guy's cat? And he says something of the, hey, well, I didn't think the guy was taking care of his cat correctly, and I felt like the cat would have been better under my care, so I got a gun and broke into his house at 4 a.m. to take his cat so the cat can have a better place to stay.
That's some story. Well, anyways, literally a cat burglar. The Michigan man who awoke to an intruder holding a gun to his head demanding his cats.
Give me that cat.
That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Dum, da, dum, 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 dum. You know, sometimes this segment we do every morning, the dumbest thing I read all morning, I have a headache when it's over, like right now. That's how dumb some of this stuff is.
I do feel like I lose a few brain cells every day around this time.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.